straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
Felt really good to be back out on the field. A lot of new faces, and even the not new faces, guys that are, you know, having to step up into some key roles, especially on defense, especially on the offensive line. So a lot of good looking athletes running around out there. And but again, you guys that have covered us for a while, I mean, that's not football, what we're forced to do for the first 2 days without pads on. But you could see, you know, guys that are hustling, guys that play with great effort, guys that make good decisions. So and saw a lot of that today.
You heard the lady on Second Thought, episode 130, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light and Hook'em.com. I'm Cedric Golden, and I'm joined by Taylor's favorite duck, Kirk Bowles. And what you just heard was Tom Herman back in the saddle again. Spring football season is upon us. Duck, how excited are you?
Oh, my God. I you know, when we were out at practice on Monday, I felt like I was back in the Superdome at the Sugar Bowl. The buzz was palpable.
You were pointed on so thick right now.
Okay, truth serum.
I'm going to tell you, Tom Herman looked happy, though.
He felt the buzz.
Oh, man, he was so excited.
He is riding the wave. He is feeling the good life.
You know what? He got over the hump.
He
won that all-important bowl game against Missouri, and then he put together a double-digit winning season and won a Sugar Bowl.
He beat Oklahoma. He beat TCU. He beat USC.
He beat a lot of good teams.
Didn't beat Maryland, but that's another story.
But they don't get Maryland next year. Indeed. They could open up at 1-0 for the first time in the Herman era.
Yeah, don't be, you know, counting your chickens now. Louisiana Tech can play ball. They give scholarships, too. I guess.
Yeah, they do. Well, this first week of spring football is off and rolling, and we spoke with Tom on Monday, and he was really excited. There are a few injuries. You know, Devin Duvernay's banged up.
Colin Johnson. Brandon Jones.
And Patrick Hudson stepped away from football. He's retired from football. Will still be part of the mix. But by and large, very excited. You got there to see a little bit of football early. What did you think of our boy Sam Ehlinger, who I bumped into at Papado's over the weekend?
Mm-hmm. He's looking trimmer. I think he's kind of lost some of his baby fat. I think he's kind of growing into his adult body, if you will. And I asked Tom on Monday, he said, you know, who looks the most reshaped? And he said, well, I don't know if I'd say reshaped, but he said Sam looks good, you know. And, you know, he looks so almost pudgy. You know, he's a short, thick, stocky guy.
Kind of reminds me of, he's not as tall, but Matt Stafford's always had that pudginess about him.
Yeah. So Sam looked a lot better. So a lot of athletes out there, a lot more depth. So, you know, I came away from, you know, that first peek at him on Monday just encouraged. And especially, you know, offensive line, I was encouraged. They got a lot more 300-pounders tight end. I think they'll survive the absence of Andrew Beck and do pretty well there. I'm still a little worried about running back. I think they're very shallow at running back. Keontae Ingram, who shared time with senior Trey Watson last year, was dinged up a lot. And, you know, no Kyle Porter anymore, no Trey Watson, no Tony Carter. So there's a lot of onus on Ingram. And I love Jordan Whittington, the Quero running back.
Mm-hmm. Six touchdowns.
Was crazy in the state championship game. So I like Whittington. I think he'll be the backup running back.
Yeah, Kirk Johnson has had his chances, and he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. I thought we'd get more out of him, but I think Whittington looks like a grown man already. He's only going to get in better condition.
And he with a college receiver as well.
Yeah.
So they'll throw to him a lot. Daniel Young is still probably that third down, second half of the game type running back. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're still on the market for a grad transfer running back.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Whittington is only going to get better with the college strength and conditioning. Yancey McKnight
right.
is doing a great job. Did you get a little audience with Yancey McKnight
this week, sir? You know, BD and I were talking to him in the end zone toward the end of our chance to see him in person, and he was bragging on the offensive line, said, just feels so good to have so much depth, and he mentioned Sam Cosme. You'd probably be penciled in as the left tackle right now, and probably their best offensive line prospect as far as playing in the NFL. And he played at 280 last year, and
that's feather light for
that
nowadays.
Is small for a Power Five team, and they said he's up to 292 now. And Tom Herman said they hope he's up at 300. Derek Kerstetter is at right guard, looks a whole lot stronger, Shackelford is bigger and stronger. And then
he's the leader up front.
He is.
The most experienced guy.
Yeah. And you got Okafor, who redshirted last year and penciled in right now at right tackle. And you got a couple of transfers coming in. Willie Jones transfer from JUCO, Iowa Western, and Parker Brown from Virginia Tech. Neither of them are here yet, so that'll hurt them a little bit. So they finally have more depth at offensive line. That's going to pay dividends.
Yeah, and that's good. And I asked him to basically give me the checklist of what you want to accomplish, and he said leadership, defense. Of those two, the defense is the one that really, really concerns me. When you lose a Chris Nelson, an Anthony Wheeler, a Charlie O., up front, you lose
Gary Johnson,
the scat back/linebacker, and Chris Boyd, Devontae Davis. Those guys are all gone, and Brandon Jones is hurt after surgery. So you got a lot of question marks. And as happy as Tom was when we spoke to him, when he started talking about that defense, he scratched his head a little bit because he knows that Todd Orlando has his work cut out for him to pencil in some guys who may not have played as much last season. I know we're both very excited about that secondary with Josh Thompson back there. Brandon Jones will be back.
Caden Stearns. BJ Foster.
Yeah, those are some stud horses that you know are going to make plays. PJ Locke was another guy they left that we didn't mention. But it's that front six, front seven that has to have Tom up at night wondering who's going to be the guys.
Yeah. But, you know, and they've got a bunch of guys there that have played a lot. I mean, McCulloch has played some at linebacker and defensive end. Malcolm Roach, you know, he had that fractured foot and missed the bulk of last season. He's got a big old body. I think he can.
They may end up moving him inside, kind of like they did Alex Okafor back in the day.
And Taquan Graham could play that one nose tackle position. Big Taquan Graham guy. So, but at linebacker, you got, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Adule.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's close enough.
He's got a very athletic looking body. Can run like the wind. He may be 240. Joel Tsai, I think, is coming on.
Who he mentioned it had shred some weight and is looking a lot tighter.
Right.
So those
They still got to do it. They still got to do it. And it's, you know, we brag on the secondary. We saw Caden Stearns play his freshman of the year.
Struggle at the end.
It struggled. He tailed off completely at the end. And Brandon Jones, as you mentioned, coming off ankle surgery. BJ Foster, that's my guy.
I like him. He's a stud.
He's a hitter. So, Anthony Cook should be playing at cornerback and Green at cornerback. So they've got a lot of talent on there, but there's a lot of sorting out. There's a lot of jobs to be won, and that helps the competition this spring.
How concerned you think they should be about Devin Duvernay being a little bit banged up, especially with little Jordan Humphrey having left for the pros, ran a 4.75, still can't get over it.
I don't worry about that too much. He didn't have a drop all last year. He's a tough kid, obviously the fastest kid there. But with Colin Johnson, now he'll miss, I think, all but the last week, Tom Herman said on Monday. But you got Brennan Eagles, who came in as a freshman, a big-bodied guy. Joshua Moore, he looked good today.
And he had his moments last year,
He did. And that's one of the things. Some of these guys, like Kim and Epps and some of them, you know, played those four games, but were still redshirted. That's
man,
just
what a
such
great rule.
Great
what a great rule.
Rule
for college football.
It helps these kids. They redshirt, but they get their taste. You know, they play four games and
now they know how
they play.
Now they know how it feels to be in there.
Exactly.
And now in the spring, they remember those games.
Yeah.
And now they know that they got to put in even more work.
And they want it.
Because you
got to
multiply
now.
Those four games
yeah.
times three.
Well, if
that's
you
a full
load. You haven't played at all. You kind of, I don't know.
I think I was ready last year. And some guys are saying that.
You got a little more evidence. You got more stuff on tape. So I think this has a chance to be a really good team. I'm not so sure they won't be the conference favorite by the time we get to July.
You said that on the other podcast. That was interesting.
I really think I like them a lot more, kind of having seen them in person now, see how much bigger the offensive line are. You know, Ellinger's proven. They're going to have wide receivers. They got to stay healthy at running back. And I think that front six on defense, that'll be – tell the tale how this team goes next season.
And the one thing that he didn't mention was stay healthy.
Yeah.
You just gotta, and he got a few banged up guys.
Yeah.
But like he said, two things he said that I so agree with. Not as worried about little injuries in the spring.
No.
You got time to heal up. These are young guys. And number two, this isn't really football.
No.
You're out there in shorts and shells. It's the spring. You'll find out who they are when you put helmets and shoulder pads and full regalia
yeah.
and let somebody hit somebody. That's when Tom Herman gets excited about practice. He's got, don't get me wrong, he was glad to be back out there this week.
Yeah.
But you know he's looking forward to seeing how they play in pads.
So how optimistic are you about this team this fall?
You know what? I always reserve judgment in the spring. On paper, I'm worried about that defense, Doug. I just am. I think teams might decide, even in this Big 12 that's pass happy, there might be teams that go, we're going to run it at them. They don't have a Gary Johnson or a Chris Nelson, guys that we know we can't run at. They don't have those kind of guys, a Wheeler. They've got some unproven cats up top. I'm going to make the Longhorns prove it to me. And if there's better on offense as I expect them to be, there might be some teams that decide to go ground chuck to keep that offense off the field. So I'm reserving. I'm not penciling them in for the national championship game just yet. But the fact that they won a Sugar Bowl pays huge dividends. Their recruiting for next year is already great because of that. And I think that Tom is coaching with the confidence and the realization that the train is back on the tracks.
Yeah. The other thing I'd point out before we leave it is that Roshan Johnson, the incoming freshman quarterback, looked pretty good. He got some reps with the twos, and he impressed me. I think he's a very mature kid, and I think he'll battle Casey Thompson tooth and nail for that backup job, which is important, especially as physical a player as much as Sam likes to run. You know, that's a key spot on the development of this team.
Well, check out all our stuff on hook'em.com. Brian Davis, Danny Davis, Kirk Bowles, and myself will have spring football on lock. Mike Craven on the recruiting beat. Doug, let's turn the page a little bit and get to a little bit of hoops.
On Second Thought.
So are you surprised to get bumped in your own building like that on senior day?
Yeah, this is never been so disappointed as I am right now.
Those two voices were Brian Davis and Shaka Smart. Our own Brian Davis will ask the first question of the pressure. Why did your team get punked? And Shaka Smart was broken. He sounded broken. Brian Davis joins us here in the Bud Light studio. BD and Kirk Bowles will be at the Sprint Center tonight for Texas and Kansas. First round of the Big 12 title game. Let me ask you first, Brian. Did you pack one change of clothes or two?
Ooh. I'm like Jordan. I only packed one suit, right? I will say this. First off, thank you for having me on Gatehouse's most downloaded podcast.
Oh, my
thank
God.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a short sample size, small
exactly.
sample size, but we'll
exactly.
take it.
You know, here's the thing about it. I like everyone else who was at the Irwin Center at Club Irwin the other day, how could you not be stunned at how badly they played? And I don't know if that it was a must-win game, but they definitely needed it, Kirk. I mean,
yeah.
they definitely needed it. And, you know, for them to let Desmond Bane go off for a career-high 34 points, TCU was down to 7 scholarship players. Their assistant coach has been suspended because of an FBI probe. They are headed for the NIT.
And they lost like 6 or 7?
Yes, and they just punked Texas straight up.
On their own court.
On their own court. I mean, come on, Horns, you can't do that.
Why did that happen?
Well, that's a good question. And we've talked about this all season long. We've definitely talked about it on this podcast. This team's inconsistency has been baffling. You know, why they will show up to play well against the Rock Chalks and then just totally lay down against TCU's of the world. You know, I don't know. I don't think Shaka knows, but I do know that inconsistency is on the coach.
I think there are two reasons. One, leadership, and that speaks to the head coach, and it speaks to the players because they're relying too much on freshmen like Jackson Hayes, freshman of the year in the Big 12, and Courtney Ramey, a very good guard who's also a freshman. Kerwin Roach is suspended, was gone for 5 games. So you don't have any of that leadership on the court is a huge part. And the second thing is identity. You know, we're here in the fourth year with Shaka Smart. I really don't know what their identity is. It's not a Havoc style. It's not, they're not great in the half-court offense. I just don't know what the identity is. And I think those are the two biggest issues.
To me, it's all about Shaka, his failings as a head coach. Shaka was talking about we were hoping to get a spark from a couple of guys during this game. You're 31 games in and you're talking about hope. It shouldn't be about hope to get a spark. It should be about, I know I'm getting a spark from these 4 guys because I've pounded it into their heads for the last 4 months. These guys are sitting around waiting on someone else to make a play. And that is a recipe for disaster. When you add that your best player can't stay eligible for personal reasons, I mean, it's a crap show is what it is. And Shaka had no answers during the regular season. They're not going to be around long if they get into the NCAAs. They might not be around long if they get into the NIT.
Might not.
They're the type of team that can beat a North Carolina and lose to Radford. That's who
and
they
that's
are.
That's the most maddening thing about it, isn't it, Brian?
Well, you know. What I wrote this several points along the way this season, they should go inside. Focus on Jackson Hayes, Dylan, Jericho, try to get some points in there. Try to get looks in the paint. When they do that, it works. But then there's games where they totally ignore that. And it's like, hey, let's hope Jace Febres bombs away. And yeah, he'll get hot. Because like, that's what streaky shooters do. He got hot against Baylor, you know, almost saved their bacon
right
that day. Then he had the big game against Iowa State
yeah
at home. That's what streaky shooters do.
In the last 2 weeks,
0 for 10,
and then he was 1 for 10.
Giant over, yeah, giant donut, right from three point range.
Yeah.
He did have that one nice, you know, inside shot, inside the arc shot. So that was good. But the point is that you just it goes back to identity. Are they an inside out team? On some nights, yes. Are they a bomb away from three team? Even though the statistics say they shouldn't be doing that, yes, they do that. You know, who's going to play hard? Who's going to get all the rebounds? Who's going to dive on the floor? You don't know on a night-to-night basis. And that is not the recipe
yeah
for success in major college basketball.
Right.
And I know there are people out there riding around in your cars, listening to us with your Bluetooth or at your office, wondering, why haven't they talked about Shaka getting fired? Shaka's not getting fired, guys. Y'all don't believe everything you read. A guy can
well,
come
up, in the States.
a nameless guy can come up with some 2-source story saying that Shaka's on the way out, but the money says Shaka's not leaving. $13 million due Shaka. I'm telling you, Greg Femvis not going to cut a check to a basketball coach for $13 million. Not even to get Coach K in here.
And I think we should probably really explain the nuance of that because it's more than just a $13 million buyout, Kirk, to the head coach, right?
Right.
If they wanted to get rid of Shaka, okay, starting price is $13 million for the rest of his buyout. Okay, fine. Now, You got to pay off his assistants, which isn't going to be, you know, $13 million, obviously, but there's money involved in that. Okay, now you need to get a new coach, right? Every Texas fan wants them to go get Chris Beard. Okay, well, the starting price there is $6.2 million.
Just to talk to him.
Just to talk to him.
That's his buyout.
To get him out of his buyout at Texas Tech.
So you're looking at $20 million.
Right, so right out of the gate, we're at $20 million, and not one basketball has been dribbled under the new coach, right?
And this is not a cash cow sport.
It's not a cash cow sport. And here's the thing about it. You know, I wish I could take credit for this idea and this thought over the weekend, but I can't.
Go ahead. No one's listening.
I'll give full credit to Mike Finger of the San Antonio Express News. He had a great point. He said, look, they could get Coach K in here, and there's still only going to be 7,000 people in December to come see whoever
probably
they play.
It's a football town, guys.
Right.
Let me preface that by saying, oh, they love it when the basketball team's good. A few more people will show up and support, but it's not coursing through their veins like football.
Correct.
It's not life or death like football. Never will.
I remember when Kevin Durant was here, I can remember writing a column like, this is almost definitely Kevin Durant's last game. I don't know if it was TCU or who they were playing, you know, and they probably had their 6,000 or 7,000, not 16,000. You know, there's so few sellouts in that place. Yeah, they're downsizing their arena, and that's probably the smart thing to do.
It'll help.
2 years
that'll
from
be
now.
Big. That'll
It'll
be
that will make help the house demand look a forward. Little bit,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But you're both exactly right. It's, you know, I'm not so sure baseball is not the more popular sport on this campus after football because they've had success there.
Well, there's more passion for baseball.
Exactly.
But basketball still outdraws baseball overall.
Well, they don't build 20,000 baseball stadiums in college, and they had 7,000 every day for LSU in February.
But basketball, I mean, this cannot be overlooked. Basketball is the second most profitable sport on this campus.
Yeah.
And it always will be, right?
Sure.
And baseball is a very distant third. So there's money
and
in
it's
basketball.
And baseball is more of a break-even sport, I've been
told.
They
make money there, but it's not big.
Baseball makes about $1 million.
Yeah.
That's good.
In the end every
That's
year.
Good. That's
right.
good.
And so, and basketball will clear $6 to $7 million based on a given year.
Yeah, probably whether they win or lose.
Exactly. I think it is win or lose.
Yeah.
They would clear that much.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what fans don't understand is the all of the financial dynamics that go into this. You got to remember, too, Chris Del Conte, who has told us this several times now already, the University of Texas just got done paying about $30 million to buy out Charlie, to buy out Steve Patterson, to hire Tom Herman. Because you had to remember, you had to pay Houston to get Tom Herman out of that contract, right? And so, you know, people think this is a school with infinite resources. And yes, compared to other places in America, it does have infinite resources. But even Texas has a budget.
Right. And the one thing I know about rich people, just because they're rich doesn't mean that they want to spend their money on everything. Most rich people stay rich by
keeping their money,
watching their pennies.
Staying rich.
I mean, how many of us have that friend that bought a brand new car and stays in a one-bedroom apartment? But then you see some well-to-do people in a real nice house with average cars. That's the difference. You know what you want to spend your money on, and you're smart with your dollars. I think that Shaka Smart's going to get at least one more year, maybe two. And the only way that I think he could be leaving at the end of this year is if he decides he's not happy, and he goes to Greg Van Vis and goes, you can get rid of me for $5 million.
Yeah, and I don't see that happening. He doesn't look happy here. Nobody's happy with him here. And I've never really understood fit and all that, but he was the king at VCU. You know, he ran that town.
No pressure.
Okay, and it's not the same in Austin.
I mean, this is what I keep coming back to. I just keep coming back to, why isn't this working? It should be working, but it's not.
Well, the question is he a good coach?
And correct. And that's what leads to, is he the real deal? And
he's shown himself to be a good coach elsewhere, as did Charlie Strong elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But when they came here, Charlie did not get it done.
So are they not ready for the scrutiny or the,
same
game?
It's the same game. It's a bigger league. It's bigger competition. And it is one of those, and it's a better league, and the expectations are higher. Nowhere that he's ever coached has Shaka Smart walked into a presser in February, and there's four TV stations and 10, 15 writers.
And it,
that's like an NBA beat squad.
And it should be noted that, you know, VCU had a sub 500 record against ranked teams with Shaka as the coach, and he never won a conference title while at VCU. So that should be noted.
Right.
But it's got hot.
But it's like what I always think about when I think about Shaka and this stage and all that, I always go back to the NFL quote, you know, those guys get paid too, right? Mm-hmm. Bill Self gets paid too, right? You know, Bob Huggins, he gets paid too, right? Chris Beard is getting paid.
Big paid.
Big paid now too. So,
and here's the other question. Do you think Chris Beard would like to be the coach of Texas?
After carting home a Big 12 championship trophy from Iowa State, I don't know.
He can win in Lubbock. He's shown he can win.
Right. He can win in Lubbock, but does he want to live in Lubbock?
I don't know.
Would you rather live in Lubbock or Austin?
Doesn't matter whether
You'll make more money here.
But he lived there for a long time as Bob Knight's assistant.
Yeah, but you'll make more money here.
Right.
You'll have better facilities here.
Basketball, here's the other question.
Basketball's on the come up, and you're going to be scrutinized more. But you're coaching at Texas. I'm sorry, even in their wounded state as hoops right now, that's still a big deal.
That's why CDC's in this conference. Here.
But yes.
It's Texas.
But here's my thing, Kirk. You know, all three of us, we know Kirby Hocutt pretty well. Mm-hmm. At least I think we do, mm-hmm. right? Looking at Chris Beard's contract, he is signed through 23-24, and it stretches up to, I think, $3.2 million annual.
Right.
The way that Tech is going, I do not see Kirby Hocutt losing Chris Beard solely over money. It would have to be something else. It would have to be, hey, I want to go coach at the flagship school. Hey, mm-hmm. I don't like living in Lubbock. I want to live in Austin. Mm-hmm. My family hates it here. Whatever.
Right.
But if it came down to dollars and cents, I don't think Texas Tech loses Chris Beard solely over money.
But I wonder if, in his mind, can I do something at Texas that I can't do at Texas Tech?
You just got to the Elite Eight.
That's what I'm saying.
Last year.
So I was like, I can win just as big or bigger in Lubbock than I can in Austin. Then why leave?
You think that Kirby Hocutt would pay Chris Beard $5 million a year?
I don't think Tech can pay that to anybody.
I don't either.
But if Texas wants to, they could.
Sure they could.
For basketball,
they won't.
Though?
They're not going to pay him close to the football.
You're going
to
pay the basketball coach what you pay the football coach?
I'm saying $4 million maybe. But it's not going to be next year. It'll be if Chris Beard stays at Tech for another 3 years and Shaka somehow buys a couple of more years and it still goes south, then they'll talk turkey.
Hey, I saw Shaka's salary in the rankings. I don't know if it was USA Today or what, and I think he was either 11th or 12th in the nation. So he is right there on the cusp of being top 10 paid without top 10 results.
And this is the third. Is this the third straight year that he finishes in the bottom half of the conference?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. That doesn't cut it.
No.
Jackson Hayes.
Bye bye.
I think is going to leave.
Bye bye.
That will mean that Shaka will have had three first round draft picks, three top 10 recruiting classes, three straight years of finishing in the bottom half of the league. He's 10 games under 500 in Big 12 play, and he may not make the tournament in his fourth year.
Why do you think Jackson Hayes leaves? Just because the money's too good?
I think the money's too good. I mean, yeah. I looked this up for today's story in the Statesman, cross plug there. You know, a mid-round pick is probably going to get about $6 to $6.5 million with a two-year guarantee. I mean,
you're set for a long time.
None of us would
right
walk away from that.
Well, the other thing too, you look at Zion Williamson's injury.
Yes,
and he's missed ever since, but. Who knows if that injury is more severe? It's like he's never the player he was.
Could be.
Yeah.
Or he's on the mend and his people are being extra cautious because they know there's so many dollars at stake.
Oh, sure.
And I don't blame him.
And for all those people that are listening and saying, Jackson Hayes is not ready for the NBA, of course he's not ready.
We agree with that.
He is not ready. Hardly any of these guys are ready. It's about the money and the potential.
I agree. Jackson ain't ready for the NBA, but he's ready for $12 million. Yes, I'm ready for $12
million. He is. Well, it's funny, you know.
I take check, cash, or money order.
When we had Shaka on the podcast last week, he was saying how, you know, Mo Bamba led the leagues in blocks and rebounding. Jackson Hayes was like an 18-10 guy. And he said, the last game against Iowa State, Jackson had like 4 points and two rebounds.
Yeah, hey. You meant Jared Allen was an 18.
He meant Jared Allen. Yeah. Jackson Hayes, for all those NBA draft nicks out there, Jackson Hayes went the entire season without a single double-double.
Yeah.
I mean,
you would think he'd luck into one, but he's not a great rebounder.
You'd think he would luck into one.
He's not a strong, great rebounder. And he's not strong. Not strong enough.
He's going to be so much better in 2-3 years.
When he gets some more weight on it.
And, yeah. And he won't be here.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. The other thing with Chris Beard. Say Chris Beard. It's like, this is all a joke. I love Lubbock. I'm staying in Lubbock. Okay. It's a shallow pool of candidates. So every time you want to fire somebody.
Who are you going to get?
Who are you going to get? You better ask that question. You better have a good answer. And Chris Del Conte better have a list of five guys that are at the top of his list. But who knows if he can get any of those top five.
I always get a laugh out of how people come out of the woodwork. Oh, yeah, Tony Bennett. Let's go get Tony Bennett. You know, oh, let's go get...
Self.
Yeah,
I'm hearing that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's always come up. Let's go get Greg Williams, you know?
Yeah. Get Beeline,
listen,
Michigan.
Listen, yeah. Texas.
Come on.
You're not getting these people.
No,
you're just
not.
You're not.
They're not.
And so... I think right now, this year, if you cannot get Chris Beard for cheaper than $20 million all in, then you stay with the current head coach you got. You got a really talented big man coming in from Westlake, although big men haven't really helped the scene in the last 3 years.
He's a stretch five.
You know, Jared stretch Allen, five, Mo exactly. Bamba, they've been good.
And I'm not bagging on Will Baker. I'm just saying that it's a guard-oriented game.
Right.
Colleges, yes.
Yeah, and so... You know, big men can only do so much for you at this level.
When they don't have a point guard. Matt Coleman, bless his heart, is a very average to below average point guard. He never makes the pass where you go, wow, did you see that? To me, a really good point guard, much less an outstanding one.
I like
one
Matt.
Or two plays, you got to go, wow.
I like him, but I thought he'd be better
he
by now.
He regressed this year. Didn't you think, Brian?
I've been surprised that he has not... really ever been able to dominate games. You're right about the passing. He doesn't have like pocket passes where you go, that'll be on SportsCenter.
And BD, you remember the tip-off classic when Shaka looks us all in the eye and says, you're going to be surprised at what you see from Matt Coleman this year. You're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Courtney Ramey's so much better than he is now.
Well, he's just more athletic
than Matt.
His best
two players are freshmen, and one of them probably leaving.
Yeah, too bad they're not both staying.
And those are the two players that I would argue have the best, I hate to say heart, but the best heart of hating losing.
Right.
Those are the two best.
To me,
down.
Matt Coleman's regressed. Jericho Sims has been invisible.
Curran Roach regressed. I'm sorry. When you can't get on the court because of something stupid, then you've regressed as well. He hurt his team.
And the rest of your
they're
guys
in the
are,
tournament if Snoop doesn't get suspended.
And the rest of your guys are fringe guys like Eli and Royce Ham and Hepa shows some moments and stuff.
But I like him. He just didn't play
enough.
You
don't look at this team and you're going – yeah, they had some bad luck this year, but boy, next year, you know, you don't feel that.
You know, this is going to sound weird based on everything that you said, but my biggest personnel complaint of the year, I think Royce Ham should have played more.
I agree with you.
I just think that every
he's got energy.
Every time that dude, I'm pounding the table. Look at me. Every time that dude is on the floor, something happens. He gets a rebound. He gets a block. Maybe he gets a foul. Maybe the ball goes sailing out of bounds. I don't know.
I think Eli's that
but
way, too.
But something positive typically happens.
You want to know the irony of ironies on Royce Ham? He's a havoc guy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He's an absolute havoc guy.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy Shaka was able to cash in and get this job.
Right.
Based on the guys like him, tweener guys with long arms that got hustle points and cause turnovers. Now he can't get on the court.
Let me ask you about that. Was it a mistake not going all in havoc here at Texas?
Should he have
done that from the very start?
Well, maybe you don't get a Mo Bamba. I don't know.
But
look at your record now. Does it really matter?
Should he?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Should he now?
Hey, this isn't working. You're 66 and 65.
Yeah, what do you think, Brian?
My thing, based on when they had tried to press.
Yeah.
I mean... I go back to those guys get paid too. Those coaches get paid too. Because here's the thing: when you look at havoc as the diamond press as a concept, when you trap the guy who takes the inbound pass, you should have someone flashing to the middle. You dump it to the middle, then you dump it to the wings, and now you're over half court. And you're off and running. So I'm not sitting here saying that I'm just some sort of John Wooden who's breaking it down. Yeah, it's not a cure all.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
But the thing that would make havoc so great.
Yeah.
Was the foaming at the mouth mentality that they had.
Right.
Let's make something happen.
Very much like West Virginia.
Let's get out there and let's get after that butt, you know.
The way West Virginia plays.
Absolutely.
And
Texas Tech played defense against Kansas and Lubbock.
Yes.
That was rabid dog. Oh, my God. Look at these guys.
And that's got to kill Shaka when Texas Tech is playing
absolutely. That
style. And they are one of the best defensive teams in the country. Okay. Chris Beard says no. Say Red McCombs said, hey, here's $20 million, CDC. Do it. Who would you think they should go after if it's not Chris Beard?
I've heard he's not a nice guy, but the guy at Wichita State, Greg Marshall, I think would be a fit here. I think they might need an a-hole in here to kick him in the butt like Rick Barnes did to get things going.
I'll tell you who I would like if he hadn't already taken a job at another football school would have been Tom Crean.
I like Tom Crean.
Kind of an outgoing personality, kind of a politician type.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing, Shaq is not a politician, and he's the first to tell you that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you have to be a politician to be the basketball coach of Texas.
I know how to play the game.
But you have to be someone who will promote your team.
You can't be invisible.
You can't be invisible, right, exactly. Yeah.
I know they couldn't get him. I don't think Mark Few, Gonzaga. I don't know what he makes. I'm sure it's good money by now.
He would have left
and
way
nobody's
long
been
ago.
Able to pry him out. And I like Mike Bray at Notre Dame, but you know, he's older.
You know what they should do?
Who?
They should go get that Tennessee coach.
What's his name?
Easy. Pat Summitt.
I just don't know if he would
I can't remember his
would
name.
Would he fit here?
I can't remember his name.
So, yeah, hell, we miss Rick Barnes. I would go after Tony Bennett because I think he fits them. They love that clean cut. You know, button down image. I
was 48 points a game.
But not this year. He has been that way, said, and I thought, no, you can't play that style. But I don't know how many seniors he's got, but they're entertaining and they'll be a one seed.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I was only kidding about going hiring Rick.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Okay. No, because you can never go home.
No, you can't.
You can never go home.
No.
You know, I don't know. It's a tough deal for a coach to want to come here. To know he's going to be the second fiddle, to know that there's only going to be 7,000 people in a 16,000, soon to be 10,000 seat building in December, and you are expected to play a quality non-conference schedule
and be entertaining too.
Yes, absolutely.
Real quick before we go, real quick, I know you guys are covering the game tonight. Does the Texas Longhorns get into the NCAAs, Brian?
Probably not, because I think.
So you think they're going to lose tonight?
I think they probably lose to Kansas. That puts them at 500, and no 500 team has ever been selected as an at-large pick to the NCAA tournament.
Not since they expanded the field, Duck.
Correct.
Beat Kansas tonight, you're in.
Yeah.
Lose to Kansas tonight, you're out.
Yep.
So what do you think they do tonight?
I think they'll lose. I think they'll probably play their butts off. Snoop Rhodes should be back on the floor.
He'll shoot 30 times.
To redeem himself, and they'll play their asses off, and then lose by 6 or 8 because that crowd is going to be so pro Jayhawk.
So basically a microcosm of the 2019 season plays out tonight, and we'll be talking NIT this time next week. Well, Brian, we appreciate it, sir. Duck,
appreciate it, guys.
You guys have a good game tonight, and we'll holler at you when you get back.
We're going to go get some barbecue.
On Second Thought.
You know, Duck, I think that Brian Davis does a great job on that beat. He has kind of a grasp of the perspective that needs to be talked about, not only just in the games, but the psychology of the coach, Shaka Smart. He's got a pretty close relationship with Shaka, and you can tell that it's wearing on the head coach. And those guys got to win.
Yeah, they're feeling the pressure, and I think, consequently, probably some of the best. Excuse me, the basketball players feel that same pressure. So it's like you can't play sports tentative, you know, and especially basketball. You got to be on the attack. You know, decisions are instantaneous. And, you know, you might be able to recover more in football. But in basketball, you got to be on the go. You got to be aggressive. You got to be pressing. And they seem tentative against TCU on Saturday in the finale. And it's just so... They didn't show that sense of urgency, and that's what was the most bothersome thing, because you know the coaches had to talk to them about that. They knew what was on the line, and TCU had kind of stumbled in there, lost like 6 or 7, had 7 scholarship players, and and just played them off the floor and out rebounded them by 11 second chance points, and it was an embarrassing loss.
Well, we'll find out tonight if it's going to be one more game or several more or a minimum of two. We'll see. Duck, let's talk a little bit about baseball. Went to the Sunken Diamond in Palo Alto and got sunk by those Stanford Cardinal.
Yeah.
See, they took 3 out of 4 from Texas, and the Longhorns catcher got hurt. And we were just talking about that last week, where we wouldn't play Michael McCann on a Tuesday for the rest of the season after DJ Petrinsky got hurt. And lo and behold, Michael McCann gets hurt, groin injury, and you never know about groins.
That's the one position that they could not afford another injury, because DJ Petrinsky, who was probably ticketed as the starting catcher, is now out for the year with a shoulder injury that's going to require surgery. And Michael McCann, he was hitting the ball. He was doing much better at the plate.
And Pierce said he was the best story of the first half of the season.
He really was, and he was just really playing well. And now for him to have a severe groin contusion, and who knows how long he'll be out, which is just huge, because Texas Tech's coming to town to open Big 12 play. Whew, I tell you what, there are two issues. There's the McCann injury at catcher, and then there's Bryce Regan at shortstop, a true freshman who's just not ready. And they played Mason Hibler, the versatile one.
He's a vet.
There in the last game at Stanford. And I'm not so sure they shouldn't just go with Hibler at shortstop and get the routine plays made. And because if you try to move Ryan Reynolds to shortstop, you might weaken third base and shortstop if you do that, you know.
It really scares me. I wouldn't mess with Deadpool. I'd leave Deadpool over at third base.
I would too.
I'd stay with Mace at shortstop. It puts an inordinate amount of pressure on this offense to produce more.
Right.
When you're that compromised defensively. Plus the bat. The two bats, the Petrinsky bat and the McCann bat, are missing. So it what would you do if you're David Pierce? Are you more aggressive on the base pass, or what do you do?
They have been aggressive. They've got good speed. They got terrific outfielders. Austin Todd was playing like the MVP. Tate Shaw's playing very well and looks like maybe the first baseman. Duke Ellis wasn't hitting for average, but he had like 24 walks going into that Stanford series. So he's just a great table setter. So, you know, that was probably the most stunning thing about the Stanford losing 3 out of 4 is that they scored 3 runs the last 3 games. They got outscored 21-3. And Stanford's, you know, they were top 5 in the rankings and have great pitching. But as good as Texas pitching can be, and Ty Madden was just dominant that first game.
What a hard luck no decision that was.
Absolutely. But they have defensive issues. They haven't been good on defense. We've just addressed catcher and shortstop, and so they're going to have to hit. They're going to have to score 4 runs or more a game, I think, and that shouldn't be asking too much. But hopefully, it wouldn't surprise me if we're looking back in June and saying, "Well, Stanford just won the College World Series." I mean, I think they're that good, but it's still kind of troubling and eye opening for them not to be more competitive in their first big non-conference series on the road.
Well, Duck, real quick before we get out of here, just a couple of NFL snippets. What do you think of Antonio Brown to the Oakland Raiders? My opinion is the Pittsburgh Steelers are in free fall. You just lost Antonio Brown. You didn't get anything out of Le'Veon Bell. Mike Tomlin has problems in the locker room, and the Rooneys have come across as stingy and a little bit too old school to win in this league as the way it's set up now.
Maybe it's a changing of the guard. Maybe Cleveland's the new king in that division. You can't lose weapons like that. You're not going to lose weapons like that and be better. We know that. And Oakland is a franchise, you know, dying for weapons. You know, I mean, who's their second receiver? Jordy Nelson?
He's old.
He is.
And he looked old last year.
If I'm them, I'd go after Le'Veon Bell, too.
Why wouldn't you?
If I could get those two, because they've got, what, 3 first-round picks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't know. But personally, I think if I'm Antonio Brown, I'm disappointed, because here's a guy on the plus side of 30, and he went to one of the worst teams in the league.
But he got out of Pittsburgh.
You know, and I'm not so sure they'll won't trade Derek Carr and try to get Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray. That's so Gruden-like. you know, to kind of make put his stamp on it.
Oh, he wants to raise him from birth. Yes,
he does.
That's what he wants to do.
So, you know, who knows? Now that they're filling up, I mean, Denver's got his quarterback. Jacksonville's got Nick Foles. You got Flacco in Denver. You got Keenum and Colt in Washington. So, you know, places are drying up that need those quarterbacks. So they may be stuck with Derek Carr, but it just strikes me as he's not the guy for Gruden.
Yeah, he does. And one more thing on the Dallas Cowboys. You got David Irving on Instagram, apparently smoking, talking about how great it is to be out of the league because he's going to fail another drug test, and Randy Gregory once again suspended. Do you think this David Irving thing is going to push the needle in any way for the leagues to consider marijuana as legal? I'll take it off the ban list.
I think maybe eventually. I think we're still in the early stages of the decriminalization of marijuana, which I support. I think we'll start to see more leeway as we see more states adopt such measures, I think. But, I mean, still on the college level as well. I mean, if it's still against the law, it's against the law. And it could be a crippling thing for Jerry Jones' Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they need pass rushers, you know, and they need people up front. The rest of the defense played very well.
Of course,
but
yeah.
But you've got to have pass rushers. And I thought they might make a move for Antonio Brown. I mean,
I didn't.
You know, just well, Jerry's got to be starving, too. He finally gets in the playoff. He wins a game, and then they get smoked by the Rams. You know, he had that little taste again. But I don't know. I mean, why don't they try to make that big splash?
I don't know.
They re-signed Sean Lee for lesser money, but Sean Lee's about done.
That didn't move the needle. I didn't understand that move. I think that Jerry believes that Amari Cooper is his Antonio Brown, but I still think he needs another guy.
Well, he may be.
But you can get that guy in the draft.
Well, can you? Or is Michael Gallup? They got Michael Gallup a couple years ago. Is he that guy yet?
I just think he's a stretch guy. I don't know that he's an every down player yet.
I like Michael Gallup a lot. I liked him in college. But I don't know. This isn't the year for wide receivers, I don't think, in the league like it's been the last couple of years. So I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think they ride Zeke Elliott too much and think he's going to cure all evils. But at least their defense has finally showed up and showed signs of being like some of those Cowboy defenses of old. So we shall see.
On Second Thought.
That will do it for episode 130 of On Second Thought. We've got to thank our guest Brian Davis for joining us, for the Duck, and our producer Adam Fish, and our good friends at Hook'em.com and Bud Light. I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.